avoid mistakes. But so thank you so much for the invitation, first of all. In fact, I prepared my text in Hungarian and the slides in Hungarian, but I understand now that various reasons it's better to talk in English. So I will arrange my talk in English or hearing instead of having slides. I have the English translation, the contemporary best English translation of Spinoza's theological political treatise, and so I will talk about this Spinoza and Spinoza's relationship to the Bible, and about this text itself. So Spinoza. So Spinoza is also a 17th century figure, but of course it's a little bit surprising if you hear about Spinoza's interpretation of the Bible. Why? Because Spinoza is one of the heroes of the secularized Enlightenment thinking, according to a mighty trend in the history of ideas, and so it seems to be more fitting to have a Spinoza against the Bible and against Revelation. But in fact, Spinoza lives amongst people belonging to a Protestant community, a small Protestant community, which was called Collegian, one of those small religious communities. Leszek Kołakowski called in his famous book Chrétiens sans Église, Christians without without a church. In fact, church in also or more in the particular sense of a building of a place dedicated to the sacraments and to the holy side of life. So those people who were disciples in some way of Spinoza, they belong to one of those church, one of these groups without a church. In this sense, they themselves they consider themselves as priests in a sense who predicted who interpreted a divine word from week to week the one and the other so they didn't have a professional priest in the communities. So it is in this community that Spinoza wrote on the published in a sense his main philosophical work, the Ethics. But also it was for this circle he wrote this book, the Tractatus Theologico Politicus, theological political treatise, and underscore the importance for him of this interpretatory undertaking. So he started compiling a grammar, a Hebrew grammar, for those disciples who did not have first-hand knowledge of the Hebrew language. So it seems to me of an of an extraordinary interest and importance for Spinoza to treat this matter, the interpretation, the right interpretation of scripture, as we see in chapter 7, as the subtitle or the title of chapter 7 in this theological political treatise. Just one word about the contra indications, so to speak, to treat Spinoza as a biblical interpreter. He has a philosophy. He has developed in the ethics a philosophy that is rather a Neoplatonic. A Neoplatonic orientation, of a Neoplatonic orientation, he seems to reckon with the eternity of the world. So he doesn't seem to think about, reflect upon the creation, the real creation of the world out of nothing, but he seems to rely on the rather Neoplatonic concept of the eternity of the world. So in this sense, and also, of course, the reason and intellect. The reason and intellect are the main, the most important kinds of cognition for Spinoza, and this is also something what we can have without the support of revelation of the Bible or any holy scripture. This is also a reason why we would accept that there is no serious interest in Spinoza in explaining scripture and explaining the method of the interpretation of scripture. So, on the one hand, we have the community of the Chrétien sans Église, disciples of Spinoza, waiting for some instruction of him about how to interpret the Bible, and on the other hand, we have the rather intellectualistic, neo-Platonistic philosophical background of his ethics. And now, what will we have in the theological political treatise? So what we have is, first of all, something which is against all expectations. If we would expect that, naturally, of course, if we expected that Spinoza is on a rationalistic, intellectualistic standpoint and says that, okay, well, there are lots of assertions in the Bible, and there are true assertions, and there are false, and we accept the true ones, and we refuse the false ones. If we accept something like this approach, then we will be mistaken, and then we'll be disappointed when we read Spinoza's text concerning the interpretation of scripture. He refuses the rationalistic interpretation. Even one of his friends, Lodewijk Meyer, or Ludovicus Meyer, one of his closest friends, he wrote a treatise, Philosophy as the Interpreter of the Bible. This was the title, and this was a rationalistic interpretation of the Bible. But Spinoza refuses this. He says that he says, as we have seen, that if we read the Bible, then we can just identify the essential moment of the teaching of the Bible, and the essential moment of the teaching of the Bible is loving. So this is how Edwin Curley translates this: religion consists in loving kindness. So it is an ex negativo passage. So
that's why I emphasize the positive side of the of what Spinoza wants to say. So we can know what is the real teaching of Holy Script, of the Holy Script, that religion consists in loving kindness. And this is the starting point. This is what all those who he thought that his contemporary preachers, priests, are not very well versed in the biblical studies, and they use the occasions to preach rather to show their own mind, their own cleverness. And they are much less interested in a real explication of the biblical text. So this is why he says the true idea of religion that consists in loving kindness is in the background now, and no one is interested in emphasizing the. And emphasizing love as the essential moment of religion. So, and that's why he says it is important to explain the right method of interpreting a scripture, and this is what he undertakes in this chapter 7 of the Theological Political Treatise. I have only limited time, so I would concentrate, focus on the essential points. The most essential point is probably what we read in this passage, where Spinoza sums up briefly. As he says, what is the method of interpreting scripture? And this is a surprising a statement, because he says simply that the method of interpreting scripture does not differ at all from the method of interpreting nature, but agrees with it completely. The method of interpreting nature consists above all in putting together a history of nature from which, as from certain data, we infer the definitions of natural things. So this is the interpreting nature method. In the same way, to interpret scripture, it is necessary to prepare a straightforward history of scripture and to infer from it the mind of scripture's authors, by legitimate inferences, but it is not so interesting now. So, and what he says, it is that in this way, so if we follow this proposal, in this way, everyone will always proceed without danger of error in interpreting scripture, which is a very promising statement. Of course, everyone wishes to have such a method. 5 minutes, thank you. Such a method, of course, and Spinoza promises to have it if we follow the method of interpreting nature. But what is this method of interpreting nature he mentions here? It is interesting if we reflect upon this description. we can state that it is not the method of interpreting nature in his own philosophy, in his ethics, because there nature means something Neoplatonic, so it is something that we can grasp by our intellect, and in fact in mostly independently of the experiential data, because we have a so-called a sort of inborn idea of God, and God and nature, at least the creative side of nature, are identical. As we all know, Deus sive natura is one of the most characteristic sessions of Spinoza. So, but this is not that kind of nature that is to interpret. He proposes here. This is the nature of the natural sciences. In natural sciences, we collect data. We collect data, and from these collected experiential data, we infer to general principles, and from these general principles, we deduce what he said here: definitions of things. And so of particular things, and so this is what today philosophers would call hypothetical deductive method. So this is what he proposes as also as the method of interpreting scripture. but of course, what does this history mean? That's the history of nature and the history of scripture is a very strange concept. But that this is, we have to keep in mind that history has here the original Greek meaning. So history is has nothing with chronological temporality, but it is just the experiential method, what we have in the sublunar sphere, according to the original Greek ideas, and so this is what he proposes here: to collect the history, to history of nature or scripture. But what is the history of scripture in this sense? The history of the scripture is, for example, and most importantly for Spinoza, the history of the language of the Holy Script. So and mostly the Hebrew language. Because his idea is that all the texts of the Bible were written in originally in Hebrew, even if the text of the New Testament is handed down to us in Greek form, but the original version was Hebrew or one of the dialects of Aramean or one of the dialects of Hebrew, and so we cannot understand even the New Testament Greek if we don't understand what could have been the original Hebrew version of those texts. And so this is the most important part of the interpretation of scripture according to Spinoza. So to put together the grammar of Hebrew, the style, some sort of stylistic of the Hebrew, and also to understand the dialectics of the particular prophets, the particular particular speakers, so to speak, of the Bible, and only in this case we can understand what he had in mind, what they had in mind, and this is on the one hand a necessary undertaking, because otherwise we cannot have access to the meaning of their sayings. So the first, and this is also an important tract of Spinoza's interpretation of the Bible, that we have to construe the meaning of the text, and then afterwards can we decide if this is a this is a true statement or not. But we first of all we have to know what they had in mind, what the prophets and other speakers of the texts had in mind, in order to know if we can agree with what they say or not. So just a last word, and unfortunately he's very much aware of the impossibility of this necessary precondition of understanding the Bible, because we just have no idea of the grammar of the Old Testament Hebrew and even of the dialect of the speakers of the Bible, as far as I know, the Christ's dialect is not sure if it was Hebrew or Aramaic. So this is what Spinoza also refers to. So in 20 minutes, perhaps, as a first approach to Spinoza, this must be enough, I hope. And then if you will have questions, of course, we can deepen this. Thank you so much for your attention.